Some Greek converts are in Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover, and they find Philip and they ask if they can see Jesus. Philip tells Andrew, and they both tell Jesus about the visitors, and Jesus tells how he is a troubled soul. His hour is near, and the purpose of his coming to earth is at hand. To be a servant of the Lord, he must follow him. If he is lifted up, all men will be drawn unto him. Now, back in Jerusalem in Caiaphas' court, the priest and the elders are gathering to plot to seize Jesus secretly so they can kill him. However, they decide not to do it over the Passover because they fear that the people may riot against them. Now, over back in Bethany, Jesus is at the home of Simon now, the leper healed by the Lord. And a woman comes with perfume and she anoints Jesus. And Judas becomes indignant because it could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And Jesus says to him that she is anointing him for his burial. And Judas says what he has said because he's a thief. Judas leaves the house of Simon the leper to meet with the chief priest. He makes a deal to lead them to the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Now Peter and John ask the Lord to tell them where they are going to celebrate the Passover, and he sends them into the city to prepare the upper room. And before 6 p.m., Jesus and the apostles gather in the upper room, and they eat the Passover meal just as Jews all over the world are eating it. The meal consists of roasted lamb, bitter herbs, unleavened bread, and wine. It is the same menu used every year since 1475 B.C. when the death angel passed over the homes of the Jews living in Egypt who had placed the blood on their doorpost. After supper, the Lord washes the feet of the apostles, and Peter objects at first but reconsiders when Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part of me." And after washing the feet, the Lord reclines again at the table. He teaches them that the slave is not greater than the master, nor is the one sent greater than the one who sent him. Jesus tells them that the one who eats his bread intends to lift up his heel against the Lord. They all wonder who that is. Jesus picks up the bread. He breaks it. He passes it to the apostles. They have never seen this done before. He is inaugurating his supper that will be the new remembrance from that day on. It is the supper of the new covenant, where as the Passover is the meal of the old covenant. And he blesses the bread and he says, "Take and eat, for this is my body broken for you." Jesus does the same with the wine, saying, "Take and drink, for this is my blood spilt out for you." Jesus then takes a portion of his bread, he dips it in his cup, and he hands it to Judas. Judas eats it, and Jesus says to him, "Do what you must do quickly." So Judas leaves the room. No one at the table knows why Judas leaves. With Judas's departure, Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." He gives the apostles a new commandment to live by. He says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Once again, the apostles begin to argue over which of them will be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus' response is the same as before. To become the greatest, they have to become like the least. Jesus tells them that they will all deny him and run. And Peter boasts that he will never deny the Lord. Then Jesus tells Simon Peter to pray for him because he is going away. And Peter wants to know where Jesus is going. He wants to go too, but he cannot follow the Lord unless he lays down his life. Jesus tells Peter that the rooster will not crow until Peter has denied him three times. Once again, Jesus tells them to be prepared. The last two times he sent out the disciples and apostles, he sent them out without anything, but this time he tells them to be prepared, promising their needs will be provided. But now they need a sword, and they must get one. Peter tells the Lord that they have two, and Jesus tells him that will be enough, because they will only need one in the garden, and Peter is the one who's going to use it. Jesus comforts the apostles' anxiety by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Then Jesus tells them about where he is going and all he is going to prepare for them. Thomas does not understand what Jesus is talking about and says to the Lord, "We do not know where you are going." And Jesus tells Thomas, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." Philip asks Jesus to show them the Father. And Jesus tells him that he does the will of the Father, and if he loves Jesus, he will be loved by the Father. In a little bit, Jesus will disclose himself to those who love him. Thaddeus asked Jesus to explain the discourse, and Jesus says to him, "If you love me, you will keep my words." Jesus continues by saying, "I have told you before it happens, so when it happens, you will believe." They leave the upper room singing a hymn on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus tells them that he is the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. He says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Father will take away." And Jesus tells them to abide in him, and he will abide in them. Jesus tells the apostles to love one another as he has loved them. The world will hate them, but it hated him before it hated them. He tells them that they will all be persecuted as he has been persecuted without cause. However, Jesus promises to send a helper, the Spirit of Truth, who will be their teacher. The synagogue will cast them out, and when they attempt to kill them, the instigators will think they are performing a service to God, and Jesus is leaving because of this persecution. The apostles want to know where he is going, and the thought of it fills them with sorrow. Jesus tells them that it is to their advantage that he leaves, because the Spirit of Truth will come at that time. Jesus wants to tell them more, but they cannot bear to hear any more. It won't be long, and he will be gone. But he tells them not to worry, because they will see him again. The apostles are now lost in the conversation. They have misunderstood the Lord. Jesus responds by telling them that their sorrow will be turned into joy. But for now, they must grieve like a woman in childbirth who forgets the pain when the joy of the new child fills her soul. Jesus gives the apostles a promise not given to anyone else. He promises that in the future, to fulfill anything that they ask him that is in his will. When they make a request of him, he will make the request of the Father, and it will be granted. Now the apostles understand that Jesus is going to be with the Father. Jesus tells them that the hour is soon coming when they will be scattered. He tells them to take courage because he has overcome the world, and then Jesus prays for them. Finally, they have made it through the streets of the city, and they've crossed the ravine to the Kidron, and they enter into the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the garden, Jesus tells the large group of apostles to kneel and pray, and he takes Peter, James, and John just a little further down into the garden, and he tells them to kneel in prayer. And Jesus goes a little further to pray for the cup of agony to pass. And after a little bit, Jesus finds the apostles asleep, and he is frustrated because they cannot pray for just 1 hour. And he leaves them praying, and he returns to his place of prayer. And once again, he comes to find them sleeping again, and he wakes them up because the hour has come for the arrival of his betrayal. Judas arrives with the priest and the cohort of soldiers, and Jesus says to Judas, "Friend, do what you have come to do." Judas kisses Jesus, and the soldiers try to seize Jesus. When Jesus asks the crowd, "Whom do you seek?" they tell him, "Jesus the Nazarene." And he tells them he is Jesus, and they back up and they stumble to the ground. And he asks them a second time and confirms that he is the one that they are seeking. And when they move forward to take Jesus, Peter draws the sword. He cuts off the ear of Malchus. Jesus stops Peter. He picks up the ear and he heals it back on Malchus's head. In spite of the miracle, they arrest Jesus. And at the same time, all the apostles run, including a young man who has followed them, robed only in a sheet. And when he runs, the sheet is left behind. Jesus is taken to the court of Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the same Annas that was the former high priest. Peter follows at a distance, but John, the son of Zebedee, follows Jesus right into the council room. Seeing Peter, John goes to the doorkeeper, and he brings Peter into the room. The slave girl at the door recognizes Peter, but he denies that he is a follower of Jesus. Peter goes out to the fire outside the council room to warm himself with the servants and the officers, and inside, Annas questions Jesus. Jesus tells Annas to ask his questions to the people who have seen his ministry. A soldier strikes Jesus, and Jesus asks the soldier if he has spoken correctly. And if he did speak correctly, why did the soldier strike him? Frustrated, Annas sends Jesus on to Caiaphas. Out by the fire, the servants questioned Peter's relationship to Jesus, but Peter denies any association with Jesus. When Malchus, the soldier whose ear Peter cut off, questions Peter, he still denies the association. This is the third denial, and Peter, as well as everyone present, hears the crow of the rooster, the blast of the sound, telling the hour. The soldiers holding Jesus beat and blindfold him as they poke fun while taking him to Caiaphas. And in the council room, witnesses testify against Jesus, but their testimonies do not agree. The priests ask him if he is the Son of God, and he tells them that he is. They need no further testimony because he has condemned himself, they say. Caiaphas sends Jesus to the praetorium to Pilate. And the priests that follow do not dare enter the praetorium because it's a Gentile building and they will not be able to be properly cleansed for the rest of the feast in time. Back at Caiaphas' council room, Judas arrives. He's remorseful of his part in the arrest. He offers to return the money if they will let Jesus go, but the blood money cannot be taken back by the priest and they refuse it. Judas throws the money at the priest and he leaves. Over at the praetorium, Pilate comes out to the steps to question Jesus. And after speaking with him, Pilate finds no reason to hold him and sends him to Herod, who has arrived in the city for Passover. Now Herod questions Jesus. He has heard all about him and he speaks to him somewhat sarcastically. Herod does not want to deal with Jesus, so he has him beaten and returned back to Pilate. Pilate does not want to pronounce a judgment against Jesus, and he tries to convince the people to allow him to let him go. He offers to let them choose between Jesus or Barabbas, because it is his custom to let a prisoner go at Passover, but the people choose Barabbas instead. Pilate finds no fault in Jesus, so he tries again to let him go without success. Finally, he has Jesus beaten and places a purple robe and a crown of thorns on him before presenting him to the people. Pilate takes Jesus back in and he questions him once again, trying to release Jesus, but neither Jesus nor the people will cooperate. Finally, Pilate says, "Take ye him and crucify him," but there is no reason for the sentence to be given. He finds no fault in Jesus, so he washes his hands of the matter and he gives him over to the cohort of soldiers to take him to Calvary. Beaten, bruised, and battered, Jesus carries his cross just a short distance. The soldiers enlist Simon, he's a Jew from Cyrene, to carry the cross the rest of the way. And as Jesus passes by some women, they are weeping, and Jesus speaks to them. Jesus then arrives at Golgotha, also known as Calvary, on Friday, April the 7th, A.D. 30, about 9 a.m. The soldiers mix gall with sour wine to give to Jesus to dull the pain, but he refuses it. They drive the nails into his hands and into his feet, and they lift him up, attaching him to the cross, and they place him between two thieves. Pilate provides a document to be placed above Jesus' head. It's written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, and it says, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Now the priests see the writing, and they rush to Pilate to get him to change the writing, but they don't want it to say the King of the Jews, but Pilate will not change the writing. On the cross, as Jesus looks at his executioners and the soldiers, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." At the foot of the cross, the soldiers gamble for his clothing and his tunic. They divide the clothing, but the tunic remains uncut. At a distance, Jesus sees John, the son of Zebedee, with Jesus' mother and his sister. Another Mary is there, and also Mary Magdalene, and he instructs John to care for his mother. John will do so for many years until she dies. The multitude begins to mock Jesus, and one of the robbers joins in. The second robber rebukes him, and Jesus says to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." From noon until 3 p.m., the skies darken as if it was night. And during that time, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" A little later, he says, "I thirst." Then he says, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." The soldier wet a sponge with the sour wine and he puts it up to his mouth. He tastes it. And then he says, "It is finished." These are Jesus' last words. He takes his last breath. He exhales and he dies. And at that moment, the thick veil in the temple that separates the Holy of Holies from the other area rips from the top to the bottom, opening the most sacred of Jesus' place to all. An earthquake occurs, and the centurion says, "Surely this is the Son of God." Many of the multitude leave grieving, as the women, including his mother, watch from a distance. It is 3 p.m. In 3 hours the Sabbath begins, and the bodies cannot remain on the cross, so the priests ask for the legs to be broken. The soldier breaks the robber's legs, but Jesus is already dead, so his are not broken. A soldier pierces his side with a spear instead. Every point of the crucifixion fulfills prophecy. Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus, and his request is granted. One of the centurions report back to the Sanhedrin that Jesus is dead. Nicodemus the Pharisee brings spices to anoint the body of Jesus quickly. They place his body in the new garden tomb near Calvary that belongs to Joseph of Arimathea. Two of the Marys watch the burial, and the Roman guards place a seal on the stone door, and they stand guard. The Sabbath begins at 6 p.m. Nothing can be done now until the end of the Sabbath at 6 p.m. on Saturday, April the 8th, A.D. 30. On Saturday evening after the Sabbath, the two Marys who watched the burial gather the needed spices to complete the ceremonial preparation of the Lord's body. And with all the supplies ready, the two rest until morning. Before dawn on Sunday, April the 9th, A.D. 30, the two Marys make their way to the tomb. They wonder who will help them roll the stone away, but when they get there, they see the stone rolled away and the tomb is empty. Mary Magdalene looks into the tomb in disbelief, but she sees an angel sitting at the right of where the body had been placed. "Do not be afraid," he tells her, "because Jesus has risen." Mary runs to Peter and John just down the road, and they do not believe their report. They, too, have to inspect the tomb where they find the grave clothes. The face cloth has been carefully rolled and set to the side. Peter and John return home. Looking in the tomb again, Mary Magdalene hears a voice speaking to her. She tells him that they have removed the body of the Lord and she does not know where to find him. She turns and she sees that it is Jesus speaking to her. She wants to touch him, but he will not let her. He sends her to tell the others and he appears to the other women. Mary reports to Peter and John that she has seen the Lord and tells them what he has said to her. By now the guards know of the disturbance at the tomb and report it to all the priests. The priests tell the soldiers to tell everyone that his disciples have stolen his body. With the dawn of the day comes a new unexpected event. The saints of all the past have risen from the grave with the Lord's resurrection to go with him to heaven. They are seen in the streets of the cities. Jesus joins two of the disciples on their way home from the Passover to Emmaus. They do not recognize him, but they invite him to eat with them. And when he breaks the bread, they recognize that he is the Lord. From Emmaus, Jesus appears to Peter. And after meeting Peter, Peter talks to some of the other apostles, and they all gather together, with the exception of Thomas. Peter tells them about his time with the Lord. And during the conversation, Jesus appears in the room without opening a door or a window. It is a wonderful Sunday evening. Their grief turns to joy, just as the Lord had said. And during the meeting, Jesus breathes on the apostles, and they receive the Holy Spirit and the authority to continue his ministry. Over the next week, the apostles tell Thomas of the meeting, but he does not believe them. He wants to see the nail prints and to put his finger in Jesus' side before he will believe. On the next Sunday, April the 13th of A.D. 30, all the apostles gather together in a closed room, including Thomas. And Jesus appears to them and offers Thomas the chance to do as he is demanded, but Thomas does not touch the Lord. His eyes have told him that he is the Master. Thomas is blessed because he has seen the Lord and believed, but those who have not seen and believed are blessed also. Later, seven of the apostles are down by the Sea of Tiberias fishing, and after fishing all night, they have caught nothing. And at daybreak, Jesus builds a fire on the beach, and he cooks some fish. And he calls out to them, and he says, "Have you caught anything?" And they reply, "No." And Jesus tells them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat. And when they do, they catch 153 good fish. And the Lord invites them to bring some and to join him. 100 yards out, Peter recognizes that it is Jesus and he swims to shore. They dine with Jesus on fish and bread. It is the third time the apostles have seen Jesus since the resurrection. At breakfast, Jesus asks Peter if he loves him. And 3 times Peter responds and Jesus replies to each. To the first response, Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." To the second, he says, shepherd my sheep. To the third, he says, tend my sheep. Then, for the very last time, the Lord warns them of the persecution that they are about to face. And when he is through, he tells them to follow him. And Peter stops the Lord and asks the Lord, who will betray you? He still doesn't know that it was Judas. And then he asks about John, the son of Zebedee, and Jesus tells him that he is not his business. Peter, your business is to simply follow me. Over the next 2 weeks, Jesus appears to over 500 believers at one time. He also appears to James, his half-brother. They go up to a mountain in Galilee where Jesus had prearranged to meet them. And he commissions the apostles and the followers to make disciples and to baptize them into the faith. He tells them to observe all of his commandments, even to the end of the age. Jesus then meets his followers back in Judea at the Mount of Olives on the Bethany side of the mount. There on Friday, May the 16th of AD 30, the 40th day since his resurrection, Jesus instructs his followers to go throughout the world teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He instructs them to stay in Jerusalem until the Promised One arrives, and then he lifts up his arms and he ascends into the clouds and on to heaven.